Hello, this message is brought to you by the friends and partners of Elijah Muslim Ministry International. Be blessed as you listen.
In our life journey on earth, we're going to go through temporary places. And how we condone ourselves and how we comport ourselves and the things that we learn along the way determines many times the outcome of our experiences when we get to the promised land. So in this teaching, we are training us on how to position ourselves properly and how to receive all God will have do for us. I did a teaching last month titled How to Come Out of Stagnation. It's a two-part teaching. So you can know when a certain seeming delay is a stagnation or not. And you can testify certain parameters that will help you know if it is God permitted. And I did all of that. But you see, temporary place here, we're talking about you have an end in view. God has shown you where you are headed. But it looks like you are in between where you used to be and where you ought to be. And all through the scripture, we have seen templates of how we ought to comport ourselves, what we need to be doing while waiting to head to where God wants us to be. And it's a skill that you have to learn. It's a Bible skill. Because many times, many people self-destruct while they are in their temporary place. And a very typical example you find in the Word of God is what we find in Deuteronomy, Exodus, and Numbers. The flow of God's people from the land of captivity in Exodus, from Egyptian tyranny to the promised land that God wanted to take them to. So while they were there in the wilderness, you all saw all the drama. And there's a lot of lessons to learn there because you see, whatsoever were written aforetime, they were written for our learning. That we through comfort of scriptures might have hope. So these things were written for us to learn. Because there is really nothing new under the sun. Life is just a series of cycles. There is really nothing. All the breaking news that you are always anticipated to go watch or listen to on CNN or on all those international TV, they're not new. They're not new. Even the so much social discourses that you see so much today on social media, they are not new. So experiences, they are in cycles. They occur and reoccur. The same thing, and this principle applies to even in your personal life, in your finances. So God's word teaches us how to position ourselves against times and seasons. Because as long as the earth remains, there will be a cycle of seed time and harvest. There will be a cycle of time to be born and time to die. It's a reality. These are realities of life. And there will be time when there will be so much, and there will be time when, not because you have done anything terrible, anything wrong, things may not necessarily flow the way it is, but it's a cycle. So it's a time. And for some, it's a temporary place. And so now, many people self-destruct while in temporary place. And that's why we shared with you last week that the wisdom you require so as not to elongate unnecessarily your temporary place. A lot of people, they are the reason behind why they haven't moved forward. They've been murmuring. They ought to have spent 40 days journey from Kadesh Barnea to the place where they were, which is the border of their promised land. Took them. They spent, the spies spent 40 days to go spy the land. In the book of Deuteronomy, in fact, they were supposed to spend 11 days. And the Bible told us that because of the way they behaved, God said, you know what, that 40 days you spent, I will make one day a year. So they spent 40 years unnecessarily. So Deuteronomy 8 verse 3, he says, look, I suffered you to remain in the wilderness that thou mightest learn that man ought not to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Deuteronomy 8:3. So God only wanted to teach them that you have to live by my word for 40 years. That's too much of a long time. Well, listen, they could even afford that because in their time, people live up to 120, 150. People live up to 200. If you are in Nigeria where the lifespan is 54, you see, look, I know you have long life. Say loud amen.
Amen.
But see, I'm talking to you facts. Even if you don't die at 54, the lifespan of Nigeria is 54. That means by the time you are in your 50s, there is little to what you can do. You can't be jogging around and jumping around when you are in your 50s. You can't. So there's a lot of things you have to learn. I know in some countries like Japan, their lifespan, average lifespan is 84. And it's because of the kind of life they live. They call them blue zones. They feed on tofu, they feed on all those things. They live among grasses, trees, you know, you are hearing birds. It's just like a typical family of every one of us in the village. But that's not even where I'm going. But I'm trying to let you know how that you cannot waste time. I did a teaching on that as well. For those of you that just resumed, you should get the tape. One of the powerful resources that you must learn to manage is time. And time is not just time. Time is life. It's that resource that you can never recover back again once you misuse it. It's one of those things. So how do you manage time? How do you prevent it being used or being misused? For example, there are systems in this country designed that are malfunctioning that are already determined to waste your time. Some of you plan to graduate at the age of 25, but now you are 28. You are still writing projects. You know why? Look, there are things that have been set in place that if you don't plan to redeem or buy back the time, your time will be wasted. So while you are there in between where you ought to be and where you used to be, what do you do? That's what we're teaching. And it's an instructional teaching. Look at it. Let me show you a scripture to know there is nothing new and those things were recorded for us to learn from. Look at the book of 1 Corinthians. I want to show you. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 6. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 6. It says, now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. So he's talking about God's children in the wilderness. They develop unusual lust. Lust simply means desires in the wrong direction. So now these things were written so that we can learn from them. Look at it. Neither be ye idolaters. That means don't be like them. Because they follow other gods. Those were the wrong things they did in the wilderness. They begin to build for themselves wrong altars. He says, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. That means, like one of the wrong things they did in the wilderness is, they were playing. In other words, no, they play. Why in your temporary place? If you play, you are wasting your time. Then he says, go, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000 people. They died one day. Neither, can you see how he's teaching us? Come on, are you following?
Yes.
He says, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them tempted and were destroyed of the serpent. These were the occurrences in the wilderness, in the temporary place. It was a passing by for them. But because of all these things they did, they self-destroyed themselves. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. So murmuring. And I spoke about that last week. I said, you see, murmuring is because you are too quick to forget the faithfulness of God in the years back. He now says, now all these things happened unto them for what? Examples, that they are written for our admonition, upon whom the reins of the words are come. So Romans 15 verse 4 says, for whatsoever were written, look at it, Romans 15 verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, they were written for our learning. He says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, they were written for our learning, that we through patience, constancy, persistency, and comfort of scriptures might have hope. There is really nothing you're going through right now that someone somehow in scripture hasn't gone through it. That's why God inspired it to be written. You are under a terrible boss that is trying to seduce you, Joseph was once there. Are you following what I'm saying? There is really nothing. And I'm very glad the example of Joseph is so very apparent. In his own case, it was the woman that was, because we have a narrative on social media that is so wrong, as though it is the men that are the bad people. So there is really nothing new. If you read the word of God, oh boy. I was studying the book of Judges, studying the book of Samuel and 2 Samuel yesterday, and it came afresh and alive to me anew. Reading out David. You know, David never lost any war. I saw how David would always inquire of the Lord, shall we pursue after? And God says, no, he would stay. God says, go, he will go. And I saw how David was quick to repent. He was a man of God. Nathan came to tell him the wrong things he did. He put ash on his head. Instantly, he began to confess. Say, Lord, you know, he was quick to repent. And instantly, the prophet said, no problem. Because you have repented, this, that. I can see how David refused to literally avenge of his adversary. I saw how he even wept for Absalom. What a man. On two occasions, he had the opportunity to kill Saul. One of his men says, let me fall on him once. David said, are you not afraid to fall on God's anointed? And he goes on to say, tell it not in Gath. Let it not be written on the street of Ashkelon that how are the mighty had fallen. But people are writing it on the street of Twitter today, how the mighty had fallen. You see, there is so much to learn when you read all these things. Those whatsoever things happened afore, they were written for our learning. Somebody say our learning. Amen. That we through comfort of scriptures might have hope. So, alongside never yielding to the temptations to murmur when you are going through a temporary place, and the fact that you have to recognize the obabs, the human guidance that God will bring to you. And I think Moses was smart to recognize obab, to guide him through the temporary place. Another powerful thing that you must do when you are going through a temporary place is that you should on never account enter into your promised land with empty head and empty hands. And that's what Moses was doing in the book of Deuteronomy 6 from verse 4 to 8. He says, look, you are going to bind the law of God, all right, on your hands. And you are going to bind it like frontlet in between your eyes. That means you must let the conviction. You see, that's one powerful thing you must build while you're in your temporary place. You must build conviction that will influence your thought pattern, your thinking system, your belief system. Because that promised land you are going to, you are going to be surrounded with a lot of godless nations that would like to lure you into their antichrist mode of operation. And you see, the only surest thing you're going to have that will keep you going when you get to the promised land is the conviction that you have built while you're in your temporary place that has influenced your mind and your hands. Because he says, look, you can sense Moses' paranoia here. He was almost paranoid. He says, look, the land which you go to possess, this is how you will encamp there. You know, we're talking about how to encamp in temporary place. Let's look at it. Let me show you. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4. Look at it. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. You will love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your might. Then he says, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Then he says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and thou shalt be as front length between your eyes. That means he wants you to wear God's word like a wristband and then put it on your forehead. It's symbolic of something. Don't forget, they were still in the wilderness. Let me give you the background. Moses, at this point, God has told him he is not going to the promised land because of what he did. Because he did not sanctify the Lord before the people. He spoke unadvisedly against them. And God says, you ain't going nowhere, Moses. Now don't cry to me. You ain't going nowhere. Climb to the mountain and see. With your eyes you see, but you're not going to go nowhere. And all that generation perished. They even made Moses to perish along with them. Now, pay attention to this. So, we have looked at the fact that when you're going to your temporary place, a major thing that you must pay attention to while you are going to your temporary place is to never yield to the temptation to murmur. Because murmuring will build an environment where serpents, and these are teachings in symbolisms, these serpents can begin to now trace themselves to you and bite you. And those serpents come in form of disease, sickness. These were the things they suffered, don't forget. They began to speak unadvisedly. And the Bible says in Numbers 14, 28, it says, as you have rehearsed in my ears, so will I do unto you. That you can be living with your uncle or with your aunt. And you don't have to. You can personally say, you know what? My hand is just managing. I am here temporarily. Instead of complaining that, hey, I wish I was in my father's house. Hey, I'll be eating three square meal. Why don't you just discipline yourself and declare a fast? Yes, you will grow slimmer. Yes, you will get affected. But listen, it's a temporary place. Look, every single time you always feel the temptation to murmur or to complain, Satan is close. And that's what 1 Peter 5:5 says. It says, look, cast all your cares, your burdens, your worries, cast them on God, for he cares for you. Then the next verse, it says, be vigilant. Because the adversary, the enemy, is roaring around looking for whom he may devour. Whom you resist steadfast in the faith. Why? Because you see, when you murmur that way, you create an environment for demonic attraction. That's when he starts shooting thoughts of despondence. Thoughts that will make you want to look for pity party. Thoughts that will make you want to give up on life. So these are teachings in symbolisms. Because when you read the New Testament, you may murmur and serpents, physical serpents won't come. But serpents in form of other things can come. You see, when you read Bible, you're going to see that there is really nothing new under the earth. So the temporary place you're going through, there is a way for you to camp there. I showed you last week that Moses found Obab useful. That Moses got to the wilderness and he saw Obab. Obab has been there. Obab knew the way. And Obab showed him the way. In other words, a major thing you need in the wilderness as well is the human guide. And I think Moses was smart because he has once enjoyed the same benefit from Obab's dad, Jethro, in Exodus 18. Where Jethro had to tell him, look, this is how you do. You have to appoint leaders over 50, over 100, so that you will not die quick. You can't be judging 3.5 million people, only you. You have to recognize Obab's. Okay, let me not jump too much ahead of myself. Let me show you. I showed them last week. Look at it. Look at the book of Numbers 10 and verse 29. Numbers 10 and verse 29. He says, and Moses said unto Obab, the son of Raguel the Midianite. Can you remember? His name is also Raguel. That means Jethro. He says, Moses' father-in-law. You remember in the book of Exodus? Where, you know the story now. They have just parted the Red Sea. They just came back from the Red Sea experience. And then that night, his father-in-law came to him. Don't forget, it was once in that wilderness where he saved him after he fled from Egypt for 40 years. You remember? And he was there helping the father-in-law to take care of the sheep. It was there the father-in-law gave him a daughter to marry. Are you following? Now he has gone back to deliver the people. Now he has passed through the Red Sea with them. Now that night, he was telling them the testimony how God opened the Red Sea, how they had several plagues, how God showed himself mighty, and they wept and worshiped God and praised God, and they rejoiced that night, and they passed the night together. Then the next morning, the father-in-law was still there, because father-in-law came to meet him, to celebrate with him, because the news went around. Don't forget, it was that same news that Jericho heard, that Rahab was telling Joshua, that we have heard, our hearts melt. We have heard of how God dealt with you guys, how God opened the Red Sea for you. The news went around. The great things God did for them. So now, the next morning, Jethro came out of the house and he saw Moses sitting down from morning to evening, judging God's people. The Bible says 600,000 men. And theologians will tell you, the Bible is more or less like a male chauvinistic writers. So they have a way, when they say 600,000 men, that means apart from children and women. So some calculation says about 3.5 million Jews. So that's why he cried out in Numbers 11. He says, Lord, do you want, at one time Moses says, God, kill me. Let me just go. Only me cannot be carrying. Am I the one that gave birth to these people? 3.5 million. You are pastoring 3.5 million. And you are the only one canceling all of them. Judging matters with them from morning to night. This one say, this one, he slapped my neighbor. My neighbor came to my house. He was shouting. Okay, sorry. So what did it happen? Don't fight. Don't fight. Then another person come again. 3.5 million people from morning to night. Jethro the next morning says, come, you will die soon. You will soon die. He said, what will I do? Then Jethro says, look for leaders among them, 70 elders. Let God put the same spirit upon you, upon them, that you'll be able to teach and be able to, so any matter that is too much for them, they will pass it to you. All this little matter that the way he look at me, and the way he touch me, and all those kind of small matters, let them judge among themselves. And there was a reason like that, because in the Old Testament, nobody had the spirit. So God took the spirit upon Moses and put upon 70 elders. So he appointed elders over 50, over 100, over thousands, over provinces. Only terrible matters that are terrible, that are hard for them to solve, is what they will bring to Moses. That was how Moses solved that problem. But it was a counsel from Jethro. Now, Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Jethro, or Ragel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place which the Lord said, I will give it to you. That means we are in a temporary place. We are in the wilderness. We are journeying. Come down with us and we will do you good, for the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. We have a promise for Israel. We know where God is taking us to. But we are in this wilderness. Come. Why did he say come? He says, and he said unto him, I will not go, but I will depart to my own land and to my kindred. But look at what he says. And Moses said, leave us not, I pray thee, for as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness. Thou knowest how we should encamp in the wilderness. Hobab and Moses is that. They've been in the wilderness. They were nomadic herders. They were herdsmen. So they've lived in the wilderness. They know how to encamp in the wilderness. They know the decisions to take in the wilderness. A lot of people self-destruct because they make permanent decisions in a temporary place. So now he says, please, will you know how to encamp? Teach us. Look, follow who no road. That's what he's saying there. Moses was smart to say, you know what? You have been here before. Ask questions. Guess what? Some of this counsel, no matter how you pray, God will not tell you. Because God believes that he has set up systems in place that you should get those counsel from. Some people have pastors they don't listen to. Some of you, I am only your pastor when you resume from home. When you go back home, you just forget. And when you come back again, you come to church. You don't even take notes. You don't listen to tapes, nothing. Look, listen. If you've been living in this church, if you've been coming to this church and you've not seen me in your dream, for 1 year you've been coming to this church, I'm not your pastor. Because if you've listened to me so much, God's word in my mouth so much, I will literally become like a guide to you. Look, listen, God places human guides in our life. That's how God leads. That you can be a Samuel, called of God, and even though, God forbid, Eli has derailed from God, you will still not know how to recognize God's voice until Eli will tell you, go the third time. Sleep. This time say, speak for thy servant heareth. You will have missed God's voice for your life if there was not an Eli. Are you following what I'm saying? That's why me personally, even though I don't necessarily accept with everything that the fathers believe in, but there is something about honoring them. Because let me tell you, God, like my wife used to say, God doesn't waste resources. And there is really nothing God is doing new. You didn't hear that. There is really no new thing God is doing. All the anointings, all the graces, all the wisdom that we need on earth is already on earth. The experiences, the foresight, the insight, they are already on earth. And they are in people. So the help you are believing God for is in people. That's why one of the powerful skills you must learn is you must learn relational skills. You must learn to talk to people well. You must learn to approach people well. You must learn to treat people well. You must learn never to look down on people. You may be sitting next to the next governor. You don't know. You don't know. Yes, you don't know. And church is a place where you find people who just by faith become equal. But outside church, people are on different levels in their social status. Treat people well. Walk up to people. Be polite. They may look haggard and poor today. See, don't forget, a table they turn. Are you following what I'm saying? So, this is so important in your temporary place. Recognize the obabs. Look at what he says about obab. He says, thou shalt be unto us like an eye. Look at it. Give it to me. Come on, media. Don't get out of me. Come on. He says, and it shall be, if thou go with us, yea, it shall be that thou, look at us, that thou goodness the Lord shall be unto us, the same will do unto thee. Verse 33. Are you there? No, go back to verse 31. He says, and he said, leave us not, I pray thee, for as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness. And thou mayest be unto us, what? Instead of eyes. Look, that word instead of eyes is an oriental language that means you will be to us a guide. You know what an eye is now? These are figures of speech. It's an idiomatic expression that you will be to us as eyes. If somebody say, that's my eye, in a Jewish man understand that what it means is that that's my guide. Come on. Human guide. You need it. I told them last week, I wanted to start this church. When I started, God led me here. God started it through me. Glory to God. And we had a lot of challenge, a lot of financial pressure. And at some point, I was tempted to do what I have vowed never to do in ministry, which is to go and loan money, to go and get loan from banks. Because we didn't have Mike, we didn't have all of that. And we are still, because one thing is, at every phase, there's always a challenge. We still have a lot of challenge right now. But I learned then, because, and I'm not trying to say this to make anybody feel any bad. There were churches, we were using that place then, the kitchen. There was a church here then. The guy just came from the UK and he had a lot of money. He would bring all the seasoned music artists, all right? And all the students would come in and trip in. They give them in, do me after church, you know, do all those kind of things and bring, I don't want to call them of all the major artists that they used to bring then. And their mic then, wow. When we were there then, the mic we were using, it used to carry their own signal. And it will also carry radio signal. I told God I will never be poor again in my life. We were in that place, the mic we were using. You imagine preaching, then as I'm preaching now, you just hear radio. It's a crazy mic. It carries any signal. You know those 7,005 mic? That's what we're using then. Because I just came to this town, I don't know nobody. And I've spent all the money to pay half. I remember the 150K to pay half for the kitchen that we're using. I was drinking Lipton. If you see my neck, then long. People used to think that, why do I always wear white then? Pastor Paul will tell you, I went to Maraba on that bridge there. I bought white shirts, 500 naira, from those people that they used to hang, that they would starch, that would stand like this. You know, I bought 5. I was wearing only that. I had just 2 trousers, a blue trouser and a black trouser. This was me that had access to Lexus before I came here. And then I was living in one room over there. All right. I would come, preach, and sweat. We began to increase. I know one thing about God. The Spirit of God is not partial. We saw healings, miracles. Second service, we later on, the place got, people were happy as we increased. You know, when you're in a small place, and when the place is filled, every new person that comes to church, we all know. Because we all know ourselves. Do you understand what I'm saying? Everybody is happy. I remember then Pastor Paul would come to me after service. Ah, Pastor, glory to God, we are many today. And what is the many there? We're 40, and we are many. I was pressed on all sides to compete. But thank God for human counsel that I should stick to it. A time came, we abandoned the mic, I began to use my mouth. I'm not saying this, I'm not happy to tell you this, but as I tell you today, that ministry does not exist again. The guy himself, I don't know where he is, his major assistant is doing something else. The other guy that was using that other side too, the last time I saw him, he was buying Alomo LJJ. That was what I saw him taking over there. These were the people I was going to compete with. Are you following what I'm saying? Pressed on all sides to compete. But guess what? I chose not to borrow. Because in 2011, I entered an agreement with God. In 2011, as a student, that was when I began to pastor in my 300 level of Bafina Law University. I entered an agreement with God after listening to the law, reading the Laws of Prosperity by Kenneth Copeland, and listening to tapes of Gloria Copeland. I said, I will never in my life. When I heard the testimony of Kenneth Copeland, how when he was going to go to Oroport University at the age of 30, and then they were so poor that they were putting pencil as offering. They will cut pencil and put inside offering bag. So poor. And they made decision never to borrow. I told myself, I will never borrow for consumption. No matter how hard it is. When I was going to have a wedding, I told my wife, my fiancé, then I were married. I said, look, I am not borrowing. I will do what I can do. I said, look, I'm living in a room, apartment. Will you come and live there with me? Are you coming? Are you following what I'm saying? Listen. Because I got counsel from someone that has camped there before. And he was sharing in that tape. He said he remembered then when they started that they say, the power of God, the Spirit of God, the vision is big. We are reaching thousands. He said, look, they went to rent a big hall. Only 11 people. The 11 begin to decrease until they only him and one person. But if you are just 11, you went to a small hall of 20, you fool the place. You won't even need mic. Because when you go to a big hall, you now need more money to fund and to pad up failure. And you're saying, praise the Lord! The echo is coming back to you. Praise the Lord! The Lord! The Lord! The Lord! And then you will be spending money on failure. And failure will be facing you in the high like this. You see, my small house now, one small TV, one chair, everywhere look full. Do you get what I'm saying now? But imagine going, I'm getting married now, and glory to God, my faith can take it, 4-bedroom, hallelujah. You know, that's why God said, look, I will not drive the enemy away from the promised land in 1 year, because the beast will increase and overcome you. So I learned that from somebody who has camped there before. I'm not saying borrowing from bank is wrong. There's something we call bad debt and good debt. All right? 2011 till date. Before 2011, as a young boy, till today, I can never remember the last time. I can never remember borrowing money from someone. But the one I can remember since 2011 till date is I have never borrowed one naira from any mortal on earth. I will use what I have. So we begin to use mouths. Use math to increase. We move to the next place. I can take 75. First service. Second service. By that time, here was free. We spoke to the hotel. We took it. First service. The first time service we're going to have here, we spread the chairs.
so that you are sitting here, the person sitting next there, so that you all will be full. Are you following what I'm saying? That's how to encamp in a temporary place. You listen to obabs that God brings to you. The new phase we want to get to, or spring, the Lord sent to me, a man sent for us, Pastor Bolaji, though, sent for us, gave us counsel on, he says, I asked him, and you must know how to ask the right question. He was telling my wife, he says, I saw his teaching. This guy is going places. This is a man that is pastoring over 20,000 people. And he told me, he said, this is what you should be doing now. This is what you should be doing now. And I asked him the right questions. Okay, if I were you, this, that, what should I be doing? He says, okay, this is what you should be doing. Focus more on this. Do well on this. I said, ah, thank you, sir. Obabs. Because I see where he is, I'm getting there. So now, how did he encamp? What are the mistakes he has made so that I won't make the same mistakes? You know, there is something that was said by a man, Isaac Newton. He says, if I have gone ahead at all, if I have seen far at all, I have seen far by standing on the shoulders of those that have gone ahead. For example, if you want to do, you know, I was listening to a man who has lived in abroad before, came back with his wife. When Generation Bank started in 2000, he was chairing a bank in the whole state. And he told me something when he was sharing his story with me that has stayed with me forever. He said he set 10 years for himself. As beautiful as goal setting is, it can be a pitfall sometimes. That he set a goal for himself that in 10 years' time, I'm going to start my own work. I'm going to start my own business. This was a man that, remember, can you imagine in the early 2000, 2000, earning one hem, having your wife and kids too, receiving some stipends. He left the company. He said he wants to go and start something. And yes, the experience and all of that, but it's like putting acid and base on yourself, trying to experiment. Now, I'll be stupid, having been led by God to contact such man, for me to now still make the same mistakes. Do you get what I'm saying? There are some things I don't need to pray for again just by listening to him. He set a goal, but after that 10 years, even though things, the bank tried to keep him, said, look, we see you are making a lot of results. You are smart. Stay with us. Said, no, I've set a goal that in the next 10 years. Look, all these people you are listening to online, all this motivation telling you to aspire, to inspire, to aspire, to perspire. Look, you will soon expire. Look, listen, if you've got a goal for your life from God, it's good to set goals. Even if you don't meet up, stay there. Say, we die here. Stay there! Don't give up! Look, listen. It's good to set goals. How about if the goal doesn't come through? This person I'm talking to, he lost not the kind of money you say you want to agbado, cassava. No, he lost real money. And the glorious thing to me about when listening to him was that the fact that when I listen to the things he has lost, and he's still standing firm for God, I said, now man, you be. And I'll tell you why he could stand. It is the same reason why Moses was giving him a charge here. That you can sense the paranoia. Because, look, listen, in the promised land, there are temptations. And what will keep you going is the conviction you have built in your temporary place. Now that you are still small in your high, now that pastor can still say, stand up, you stand up. Sit down, you sit down. Now that everybody still, you are still good in your high, build convictions. Can you see the major conversation in the world now? Definition of who is the woman. The last International Women's Day, you see the conversations now. A lot of people are confused. Ever wondered why some Christians that are so vibrant in campus days, once they get out of this country, their Christian devotion just gets watered down? Why? Because the Christianity of consumerism is what we practice in Nigeria. So when they get to a country where all their needs are met, they don't find any motivation to serve God anymore. Then they begin to have confusion about the things they even initially believed. Why? Because they were not rooted. So in your temporary place, now why things are still normal, now why you are still in a level where you can still say to yourself, I am still small in my high, build convictions. Those convictions will keep you going in the promised land. Because in the promised land, there is a lot of godless people around. And their goal is to influence your thoughts and influence your hands. So Moses said, look, bind the word on your hand and in your front length of your eyes. That means on your forehead, which symbolizes your ideology, your thinking, and your actions. So it is conviction you have built in your temporary place that will keep you going after you go to the promised land, so that you will not be influenced and forget your former love. Just hold on. Amen. Build conviction. That's the number three instruction I'm giving you in your temporary place. Build conviction. Because sometimes things will go so south that you say, you know what, I think I need to go on. Look, do you know what it means for Saul, a man of God, to go and disguise himself, says he wants to go and see a witch at Endor. The same man that banished wizardry and witches from the land. It's because if you don't build conviction in your temporary place, if overnight success eats you, it will shake your conviction. Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
That's why you can smell the paranoia of Moses in Deuteronomy 6. He says, look, as you go to this land that you are going to, you must bind the law of God on your hand and as frontlet in between your eyes. That means you must put the law on your forehead and your hand. And it symbolizes your thoughts and your actions. Because your surest shield from being influenced by the godless nation, Antichrist nation that surround the promised land, your surest shield from them is your personal resolve to remain fidel to the convictions you've built while you were in your temporary place. The convictions that have filtered into your thoughts and your actions. That's when they'll be discussing gender issue with you. They'll be saying transgender. They'll be talking about male-male sex, male-male marriage. Look, it is because the reason why you are confused with those things is because you've not been grounded in your convictions yet. So your surest bet not to be influenced by the world. Because listen, good land also comes with great temptations. The land flowing with milk and honey also has temptations. And if you read all through from 2 Samuel, all through down to the book of, if you read all through the book of Judges, for example, the summary of the book of Judges is about they sinned, God raised the judge for them. They sinned again. I'm like, are you guys dumb? They keep making the same mistakes again and again. Why? They didn't have conviction. While they were in the wilderness, when they heard to be building conviction, they were busy crying for, God, we wish we can go and eat our garlic and our cucumber. You know, you have come to kill us in this land. We are tired of this, manna. Stop giving us this manna. We want meat. I'm tired. It's been longer. Only rice I'm eating in my house. Shut up. Yes. You can tattoo this message. Shut up. Yeah. Be thankful. Build conviction. Some of you, don't be too quick to judge those who all of a sudden got rich and their behavior changes. You know why? Because, look, money is actually a magnifier. It actually amplifies who you truly are. And the wisdom is why you are still in your temporary place. Aside refusing the temptation to murmur and recognizing Obabs and Jethro in your temporary place that will be like human guide to you, another powerful thing you must do is to ensure that you build conviction while in your temporary place. Because it is those convictions that will make you stand. Because in the promised land, you will be surrounded by godless people that would like to influence your ideology, that would like to influence your action. That's why Moses in Deuteronomy 6 that we just read now, he says, as you go to this promised land, you must bind the law in your hand. And you must also bind it as frontlets in your eyes. That means God's word must be on your forehead and your hand. And these are teachings in symbolism. Forehead means your thoughts. Hand means your action. Because the only thing that will keep you from being influenced by following her, not so that you will not follow after Ashtaroth and Baalim in the promised land, is that you have to personally have a resolve of fidelity to the conviction you've built in your temporary place. That's the only thing that can keep you from being lured into worshiping Baalim and Ashtaroth. That's the only thing that can keep you from being lured into lusting after what others are lusting after. That's the only thing that can shield you and keep you in your Christian conviction. Brothers and sisters, build conviction. Build it. Some of you don't even know what it means to be a Christian, because the Christianity of consumerism is what is predominant in Christianity. Gimme, 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 because my name is Jimmy. Oh, were you blessed already?
Yes,
I will teach this. I'm not done, but time is gone, so I will teach this in second service. I want to talk about a man called Agur in the book of Proverbs. You can see his... Let me stop here. I will teach that in second service. Were you blessed?
Yes, sir.
Were you blessed?
Yes, sir.
Build conviction. Let me end with this. You know, some time ago, it was around 2019, there was a guy that came to me. He said, I've been a blessing to him and all of that. I said, okay, tell me. He said, his dad wants to speak to me. So I spoke to the dad. Dad said, great man. How are you, sir? I said, I'm fine. Thank you, sir. Then he says, can you please just go and open an account in a particular bank? I want to pump money there for you just to support what you are doing. I said, okay. As we ended the call and all of that, the Lord said to me, I will kill you. No, like, I didn't actually hear God saying, I will kill you, but there's a way you can sharpen your conscience that a no will be like, if you do it, you'll die. You know what I find out? EFCC was later after the man. I'm telling you stuff here. Let me tell you. There's another one. The guy, where is Adejo? He's not here. I went to minister for this man there, and the man said, you dey preach. I said, thank you, sir. He said, you know what? We are going to Israel. Just pick like 20 people in your church that we can go to Israel together. And then we can. When I came back, I shared the things with some of you then that were around. Said, looks so good. As I got home, I literally heard the angel of the Lord says, guy, I will kill you. Are you following what I'm saying? Let me share that one with you. This one, the guy just came from UK, started a new ministry. In short, let me tell you, it was the guy that was here. All right? So NTA came to meet us there twice. When we're still on that bar there. And then you know me now. Those of you that know me, I'll preach and sweat. I'm still sweating now, but then you didn't see anything. This one I'll preach 1 hour, you are saying it's enough. Then I'll preach 3 hours straight. It's one service now, and I want to preach. Because I want that as I'm preaching, I want it to be vibrating. Preach. I will open scripture, open, quote. One day somebody came to me, he said, all the use over 60 scripture. How did you know it? See, the Lord is helping us. The Lord is helping us. I'll quote scripture. He said, let's do collabo. I said, okay. I was very happy because he said, because a time came, and I love the humility of Isaac, it started coming to our place too. You know, NT started coming, because unfortunately the membership, the people that were coming, they were mixed multitude. I'll talk about that in second service. They didn't actually come for the world. They came for the Indomie. They came for the things they gave them. And then they spread some things, news around him, about him, all over. That people started to stop coming. So he started coming. So after service, after they finished their own service, maybe 2 or 3 people show up. He will now come to our place, because we'll be doing like second service then. And he came to meet me. He said, he wants us to do collabo. That my friend that preached for me, that we should just do collabo, all of us. And that they will give me something. Of course, you can't call someone to come and preach out, giving them honorarium. So I was happy that, thank you, Jesus. I was calculating at least they will give me 50K. Shata yagadabada. Elegrado. You know, there's a way some things make you speak in tongues. You think it's the spirit of God, but it is actually covetousness. So you see somebody with a car, say, hey, this is my car. Labarazeziaha. You are just covering covetousness with tongues. You see a man with white hair inside a car, and you say, "Kabari, what took him how many years to buy? You want to get it in 1 month. And you are praying in tongues. Kilaba, the Lord will collapse time for me. Kasate yegaba." You see, when you begin, you see, spirituality is what you are sprinkling on your covetousness. So I went, I was praying in tongues. I was happy. When I got to my room there, as I knelt down to pray, I said, "Thank you, Lord. Kabazoti, agadabadei, lekado, shada." My tongue changed. And I hear, "I will kill you." I have to reach back to him and say, "I'm sorry, I'm not interested. Look, let me tell you, I have not started ministry. I'm still rehearsing. I know whom I have believed. I know where I am going. But I'm in my temporary place. So I must build conviction. I must take root downward. So that nothing will shake me. Nothing will move me." Some of you, if 100 million enter your account now, you will start misbehaving. Nobody will be able to talk to you again. Your shoulder will be like, "Is that your shoulder pad?" Were you blessed?
Yes, sir.
Lift your hands and thank him for the word. Father, we thank you for today. I want you to pray a prayer of introspection. Say, "Lord, open my heart. Search me. Take away every dirt. Lord, help me to build conviction this time. This time. Help me to stay true to you. Help me to stay true to you. Help me. Help me, Lord. I want to build my conviction strong so that when I get out of this country, I go to the United States, I make friends with Yankee girls and Yankee guys, I won't end up subverting. I won't end up losing my Christian conviction. I won't start thinking. I will not start replacing God with mother heart in my conversations. Start saying mother heart. Universe can bless me. Start, you know, just changing ideologies. Say, Lord, help me to stand fast and hold truth to your word. Help me to build conviction. Because I know that up there, there will be a lot of temptations."
We know that you've been blessed. For further inquiries, to get more messages, and for counseling, please visit our website www.cornerstoneglobal.org. or call the number +234 91 60 84 88 80. God bless you. We love and celebrate you.